Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show, everybody. Silker Joe Show co-host Joe with you all today while Alan is on assignment. What's his assignment? He's going to the moon to fight aliens. You've all seen Independence Day. You know that they appeared over the moon July 2nd. Well, Alan's flown right up there to try and put a stop to that. Don't worry, guys. He'll be back tomorrow. But And he'll be very heroic and victorious in his return, by the way, so you should thank him very much when he does return. But if he were here today, he would give to you his mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. And if you want to show Alan your gratitude, you can catch us on social media, because we post under the Main Street Media Network's pages. Why do we do that? Because the Main Street Media Network supports this program, and we appreciate that support. We want to thank them very much. And you can do that by going to MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and thanking them and thanking Alan for stopping the alien invasion. Or go to the social media pages on Facebook and Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network, Twitter at Main Street Radio, or Twitter at Alan Nathan. And on all those platforms, you can easily express your support for Alan as he fights this massive alien supership. And you can also catch us on the podcast as well, which, you know, in case you missed this program or you just want to hear Alan's voice again to reassure yourself that he's okay, you can find previous editions of the show on MainStreetManNetwork.com, but also AlanNathan.com. That's Alan's website. His existence as a talk host predates the Main Street Radio Network connection by 12 years or so. Alan's been around doing this program since June of 1998. He is the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist talk host in the country. So he's got a lot to brag about with that. And again, if you want to give him some honors, I just gave you all the contact infos, Facebook, Wimkin, Twitter, or Main Street Media Network's pages, or Twitter at Alan Nathan. And or just go to alannathan.com or mainstreetradionetwork.com. There's a contact page on one of those or both of those sites. I don't know. I don't need to contact them through the website. I have their email addresses, so what the heck do I know about what's on the website as far as contacting them goes? We also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Now, at this point, Alan would give to you his pre-written topics for the program. I got mine right here, and pre-written topics that should be out on those social media pages. Liberal media spreads hoax about DHS bounty hunters abducting illegal aliens on the heels of a hoax about our strikes in Iran, right as CBS pays millions for deceptively editing a Kamala Harris interview. Why does anyone trust them and politicians quoting them? Also, as the 4th of July approaches, a poll finds nearly half as many Democrats are proud to be American as this time last year, versus only a slight increase in Republicans. So why do headlines imply it's more than just angry Democrats? So this is a Gallup poll that came out recently, and like yesterday or something, and I scrolled down away from the numbers here. The number it gave is 36% of Democrats are proud to be American, which was contrasted to 62% last year. As for Republicans, it's 92% this year and 85% last year. So while Democrats dropped by 40%, Republicans gained by, what, like 8% or something? So you can see that much fewer Republicans than Democrats are swayed by the politics of the day to indicate whether or not they're proud of this country. Which says a lot about Democrat policy. Gee whiz, look at this guy that they're running in New York City. Doesn't seem to know anything about America, but what do you expect from him? He's a Democrat. And boy, he's got some crazy ideas. Did you know that guy in New York City, their Democrat mayor candidate now, he has this idea for city-ran grocery stores. First of all, when the state runs stuff like that, it never works out. Just look at Russia. People in the Soviet Union, they had to go from state-ran grocery store to state-ran grocery store to get what they needed because no one store ever had anything in stock. And they always had to, you know, rely on word of mouth and wait around the block to get into the store and just hope that whatever they heard was there was still there by the time they got in. As it's like, do these, and actually that's you know, why there's a great argument for reviving the nuclear family, because you need the wife to be staying at home to wait in line for you while you go and earn the money to keep the home over your head. And that's also, I guess, why the mayor is arguing for rent-free, or the state, or rent controls and stuff like that, to try and help make that, facilitate that. So, you know, he's got it thought out, but the thing he doesn't have thought out is the money that he plans to spend on those state-ran grocery stores that don't work. But, you know, if you ask a communist about previous instances of communism failing, they're just going to answer that that was not real communism. So that's how they get around the fact that their ideas are total trash. They say their ideas had actually never been tried before because they have the winning formula. Millions of dead people, millions of living people, many regimes over this last century that tried it failed, but they themselves, their little New York brain or whatever, that somehow makes it different means they're going to succeed this time. And boy, does he have a great plan for how to fund these state-ran grocery stores. He's going to spend $140 million on them, right? And he says he's going to use this fund that currently exists for helping out private grocery stores that want to expand into areas of low access to food and stuff like that because of the crime and whatnot in the area, causing stores to close down. Well, the thing of it is, though, that $140 million doesn't actually exist yet. See, the program is designed to take in like $3.3 million every year, and then at the end of that period that it's contracted for, it comes out to $140 million. But he's taken it all up front to spend on his state-ran grocery stores. He didn't even understand the concept behind the plan that he's going to use. So that's already a bad look. Like, if the guy had a plan that at least on paper could have worked, maybe I'd be giving him more of a benefit of the doubt. But Democrats, of course, they're circling the wagons around that. A local Democrat congressman was asked about this kind of thing on the news, and he just dismissed it entirely. He said, oh, it's laughable that people are so concerned about state-ran grocery stores in the city. Ooh. But like I just said, it's not necessarily that it's just communism bad thing. It's this idiot mayor doesn't have a viable plan kind of thing. Like, even looking at the plan, it's bad, but the Democrat congressman's like, well, whatever, he's a fellow Democrat, so it's okay. It's A-okay, everything's fine. We got nothing to worry about here at all. Ugh. The way they circle the wagons around their own, but actually that kind of is the base of the party these days. That is where the Democrat Party stands. This socialist mayor, communist mayor, whatever you want to call it, he's not an anomaly. He is the party at this point. I mean, look at the mayor's race in New York City. Surely you think they could come up with a better candidate than this guy, right? Well, they obviously didn't. Surely they could find a less radical candidate if they wanted one, right? Well, apparently they don't want one, do they? So that's, like I said, this is where the party is. And New York, of course, is the most extreme of the, one of the more extreme of the Democrat areas. And, I mean, we've seen this decline going on for a while, though. Back in 2018, for example, Gallup had a poll out. Only 47% of Democrats viewed capitalism positively. In fact, 57% viewed socialism more positively. That can't be right. That's got to be a mixture here. I'm just looking at the Google search results. 76% of Democrats, according to Reuters in 2020, said they would vote for a socialist. And as of 2019, according to Pew Research Center, nearly two-thirds of Democrats, 65%, have a positive view of socialism. So this idea that this Democrat mayor in New York City is just out of the blue and somehow gamed the system or whatever, or somehow had a better ground game or whatever than his opponents, or was more media savvy than the opponents, appealing to the young demographic, whatever, that's not true. Everyone has been trending to the left on the Democrat Party. They just couldn't see it until this self-proclaimed radical comes in, and they're like, whoa, look how far to the left we are, because this entire time they've just been defending these left-wing policies, and now that they see they weren't exactly popular, that's when they're trying to distance themselves from them. nationwide, because they know what's going to happen. This guy's going to come in, and every Republican running is going to be like, hey, look, New York City? Yeah, that's what the Democrats want. That's their vision of future. Look how they circled the wagons and defended this guy. But look at us. We're standing between that trash heap and you. I mean, come on, this New York City mayor wants to abolish prisons. He thinks that if you're a violent criminal, a rapist, or a murderer, it's the fault of the government, not your fault. Prisons should only be reserved for political opponents like Donald Trump or Jews. The guy also said globalize the Intifada, which was an incident where 1,200 Jews were killed. And to globalize it, of course, means kill all the Jews. And he tries to defend that statement. He went out on NBC, of all places, to defend it when he was given a chance to condone it or condemn it, but he condoned it. So with candidates like that, it's no wonder Democrats' patriotism flips between whenever they're in power and not in power. More Alan Nathan Show after this break.
It's no surprise that people love their pets. In fact, 97% of pet owners consider them part of the family. Amazon's Jen Ray has more.
Amazon Pet Day makes caring for your pets easier than ever. The 48-hour sales event features thousands of deals with the convenience of Amazon's fast delivery. Whether you're welcoming a new puppy, upgrading essentials for a senior pet, or looking for products that pamper, there's something for everyone.
Nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have a pet. That's 86.9 million homes.
With so many households having pets, Amazon has something for every pet owner and their furry friends, from trusted basics to exciting new favorites across price points. Plus, Amazon is expanding its pet care offerings, now providing prescription pet medications on Amazon.com through VetSource, a leading pet pharmacy.
On May 13th and 14th, Amazon Pet Day will offer incredible deals, including on our most popular and pet-approved brands, like Purina Pro Plan, Iams, PetSafe, O'Norman, Ring, and more. Learn more at Amazon.com/Pet Day. As the school year winds down, many high school students are thinking ahead to what comes next. For some, that means staying academically engaged over the summer and preparing for the transition to college. Shauna Thayer, CEO of the online education platform Sophia Learning, has more.
Sophia Learning offers college-level courses that students can take at their own pace and are designed to transfer for credit. This summer, we're giving eligible rising high school juniors and seniors free access to 6 college-level courses. It's a great way for students to get a head start, see what college classes are really like, or try something new without the pressure.
A new survey finds that 72% of high school juniors and seniors who plan to attend college in the next 2 years feel they need to go to college to be successful, but 51% want more time to decide on a major.
Preparing for college is exciting, but can come with uncertainty. This program gives students a chance to learn at their own pace, gain confidence, and make informed choices about their future.
Learn more at sophia.org. That's Sophia with a PH.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show. By Silker Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Al today while he's off fighting space aliens on the moon, as you saw at the beginning of Independence Day. That's where they are. Anyway, so it's a lot better than saying he's on assignment. Come on, I say that every time he's missing, well, except for back in April when he legitimately was on vacation. But, I'll just change it up a bit. Anyway, so I'm going to talk about this first topic I have for the show. Liberal media spreads hoax about DHS bounty hunters abducting illegal aliens. Sorry, that sentence just sounds so ridiculous. Liberal media spreads hoax about DHS bounty hunters abducting illegal aliens on the heels of a hoax about our strikes on Iran, right as CBS pays millions for deceptively editing a Kamala Harris interview. Why does anyone trust them and politicians quoting them? So, this thing about the Homeland Security bounty hunters or whatever, this woman said that she was kidnapped off the street, like on the way to work or something. Just some bounty hunters came up and grabbed her, and maybe Boba Fett and Dengar, I don't know, and they dragged her to this gulag or something, this warehouse where all these men and women who refused to self-deport were being stored, and she was told that she would have to stay there until she agreed to self-deport. Of course, she didn't agree to do that. I'm not sure exactly about the details of her escape. I'm sure it involved the Sarlacc pit monster somehow, because that's just as fantastical of a story as any Star Wars film is. But it turns out, of course, this is an absolute lie. DHS doesn't even contract with bounty hunters, let alone ever had interaction with this particular individual. That nonetheless, the Los Angeles Times and radio station KTLA, they picked up on the story and reported on it and said that, this happened. This is a totally real thing. Homeland Security stated, quote, lazy reporting like this is why trust in the media is at an all-time low. This type of fear-mongering and demonizes our law enforcement, who are now facing a nearly 700% in assaults against them. I'm pretty sure Breitbart here left out a few things in this quote from DHS. I certainly hope they did. So, that is the state of it, though. It's just a hoax. Never actually came back. Never actually happened. And, again, I don't see anything in this Breitbart story about how this woman escaped from there. Because it says that some people were held there for months, and she was only picked up a few days ago, according to her. So the story just kind of collapses there. Is she like saying she fought her way out of past ICE agents and the trained bounty hunters? It's so ridiculous, but the Los Angeles Times picked it up, so must be real, right? Well, again, this is coming on the heels of another hoax about whether or not the strikes we made on Iran's Fordow nuclear facility were effective. And I'm just going to let the White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt describe these. Could we have clip number 12, please?
You mentioned this was a low-confidence preliminary intelligence assessment, and the entirety of that assessment was not leaked to the media. Only tidbits of that assessment were leaked to CNN. And we have seen this playbook run before, where you have people in the intelligence community, or perhaps on Capitol Hill, we don't know, but I believe the FBI is investigating to find out who that leaker was, because it's illegal, and they should be held accountable for that, leaked bits and pieces of an intel assessment to push a false narrative. And it's to the same reporter, I will add, Natasha Bertrand of CNN, who has done this in the past.
Done this in the past. Well, let's hear what these past instances that she's done this are. If we could have clip number 13, please.
In 2020, it was Natasha Bertrand who had 51 intelligence analysts falsely lie to her, but she still put it on paper for some reason, that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. Also in 2020, this same reporter, Natasha Bertrand, wrote that a top intel agency ruled out the man-made lab leak theory of the coronavirus origins. Again, the president was right about that. This reporter wrote a lie from the intelligence community to seek a narrative she wanted to prove. Also, in 2024, Bertrand pushed the suckers and losers hoax. She also pushed the fine people hoax. And then last October, and I believe this is notable, Natasha Bertrand published an article in Politico from the intelligence agency. She said that John Ratcliffe was speaking without any evidence when he said Iran was attempting to undermine President Trump's presidential campaign. And then we, of course, found out that was absolutely true. In fact, the Biden administration declassed an intel report which said they had high confidence that Iran had done exactly what Ratcliffe alleged.
Yeah, so these unreliable sources in the media, CNN's Natasha Bertrand or the Los Angeles Times, apparently, just come up with, spit out these hoaxes to bash the Trump administration. And again, there's that, you just heard not only the recent one, but the record of it happening. And of course, the intel community goes to this one reporter. I mean, you don't believe there's a deep state. They selectively leak to a chosen reporter who breathlessly reports whatever they tell her, no matter how many times she's been fed total bullcrap. And it just keeps happening, and you got to wonder why is there any credibility left in the media at this point? Why, especially with such a fantastic story as this, kidnapped by bounty hunters, held in a warehouse where people have been held for months unless they are self-deported? Like at that point, you know, it's almost a waste of taxpayer money, because if they have you anyway, they're going to just put you out of the country. Why would they hold you until you self-deported, when the whole idea of grabbing someone is to get them out of the country? Not just give them the option of self-deporting, but, you know, by the time they grab you, you're done. You're already on your way out. So holding them in a warehouse until they self-deport doesn't really make any sense at all. Now, could it have been human traffickers that actually kidnapped someone and claimed to be operating on behalf of ICE, and the media just reported that because they wanted it to be true that it really was ICE? I'm not ruling that out. Although there is still the question of how did this woman escape from her kidnapping. But anyway, as all this these hoaxes are going on right now, CBS has already paid $16 million to President Trump and has another large figure somewhere along those lines coming very shortly. What did they do? Well, let's listen to first real quick clip of how CBS on 60 Minutes portrayed an interview with Kamala Harris. If we have clip number 19, please.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
Sounds like a very quick, concise answer, right? Kamala Harris is in top form there, except that's not what happened. This is what actually happened. What you heard is what CBS aired. What you're about to hear is how the interview actually went. If we could have clip 18, please.
Work that we do diplomatically with the leadership of Israel is an ongoing pursuit around making clear our principles, which include the need for humanitarian aid, the need for this war to end, the need for a deal to be done which would release the hostages and create a ceasefire. And we're not going to stop in terms of putting that pressure on Israel and in the region, including Arab leaders.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
I should really cut out the first half, because you can hear the second answer was a lot more hesitant and less concise. In fact, more hesitant and less concise than what she was saying right before she was asked the question. But CBS edited that in order to hurt Trump's chances at winning the election, obviously, and that's what the lawsuit is about. And guess what? He won money from them. And what does the media do? They just spread more hoaxes. Go figure. All you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. More Alan Nathan Show after this break.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit easyhomemeals.com. That's easyhomemeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, don't tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. Silker Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Alan today while he is on assignment. If you missed what the assignment was about, Don't worry about it. Nothing important. Anyway, you just got to listen to the rest of the program. And while we wait for our guests to show up for this segment, you know, I'm just going to go with this thing here that it's a very interesting poll here that Republicans are just over the moon with Trump. You know, I talked in the opening segment about this, how the and we do have our guest here, so I'm just going to segue into that real quick. But, you know, we talked in the opening segment about how the media is trying to promote these polls about the loss of patriotism in the country, as if it's not just a bunch of angry Democrats. So, like, where's the public trust here? Where's the trust in the establishment, the trust in the government at this point, when you have politicians citing these same media outlets that have been so deceitful? Anyway, joining us to talk about the loss of public trust in America, we have Mark Meckler. He is a political pundit, attorney, and business executive president of Citizens for Self-Governance and Convention of States Action. Mark Meckler, happy having the show. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Great to be with you.
Yep, glad to have you. So what do you make of public trust? Is it recoverable or is it dead?
Well, I think it's not only recoverable, but growing on the Republican side. The problem is that we have one party in this country, the Democrat Party, that is promoting not only distrust, but hatred of the United States of America. And if you look at the numbers behind the poll, that's what you see, that Republicans still love their country. They're as patriotic as ever. Actually, patriotism is up a bit. But if you look at Democrats, they have been taught over the last 30 years just to hate the United States of America. And that's a significant problem.
Yeah, and we've seen also just attacks on institutions growing, like physical attacks. Attacks on ICE agents have increased 700%. Since around this time last year, because like the poll, and you know, it's an interesting contrast. You have the poll on patriotism, where at this time last year, 62% of Democrats were proud of the country. Now it's 36%, and as that dropped, attack on ICE agents has grown.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things about that is you'll see a swing in people who are confident in our government when the parties change hands. And you'll see that Republicans are less confident if Democrats are in charge, et cetera. And I would expect that. What you don't normally see, and what's so distressing about this, is the lack of patriotism, the lack of love of country. And Democrats swing back and forth on that, depending on who's in office. And you're right, they're attacking institutions. They're not just attacking ICE agents. Let's remember the protests outside Supreme Court justices' homes, the attempts on the life of one of the justices. We've seen attacks on police stations all across the country during the BLM riots. So this coming from the left is a genuine, true hatred of the United States of America, and it's being taught to young people inside our educational institutions.
And we've seen the outcomes of that. And like our government itself, I mean, the bureaucracy and all that, it's drawn from these institutions that are educating these people to be in such a way where they hate the country unless basically they're in charge.
Yeah, I think that's correct. So, you know, they say democracy is in danger. What they mean by that is we're losing. And that's what you hear from the left. They never say democracy is in danger if they win an election. They always say it if they lose an election. This has nothing to do with even ideology. It has to do with power. If the Democrats are in power, they're happy with the country. It doesn't really matter what's happening, and vice versa.
Yeah, and with Republicans in contrast, though, we saw only 7% or so who seemed to feel that way. It was a 7% increase from 85% who were super proud to be American last year versus 92% who are proud to be American this year. And since that only went up 7% after winning the election versus Democrats losing 26% after losing the election, it really shows the value contrast.
Yeah, I mean, what it shows you is that for Republicans, I think we have a deeper understanding of what it means to be American. Our love of country is tied to the idea and the ideals of America, to the Declaration of Independence, to the Constitution, the idea that this is a country where there's opportunity for everybody. And we believe that that opportunity exists in a bipartisan basis, whether we have a Democrat administration or a Republican. We may not like the Democrat administration, but it doesn't make us love our country anyway.
So how do we bring these citizens back who just seem to think that you should only be proud of the country if you are the one controlling it, otherwise just hate it, hate yourself and all that?
Well, I think we have to realize that we're fighting a deeply rooted ideological battle that finds its beginnings in our educational institutions, and we're going to have to take back those institutions. One of the things that I'm proudest of the Trump administration for what they're doing right now is fighting back against these woke institutions, removing the racism from these institutions, using the threat of withdrawing federal funding. But it's going to have to go much deeper than this. If we don't gut these institutions and restore them to some form of neutrality, or frankly, even making them institutions that promote the love of America, then we're going to continuously lose the Democrats on this.
Yeah, not only that, but it's like, it's not just love of America these institutions are fighting, it's their own voting blocks. Traditionally, Jewish Americans, for example, 60% plus vote Democrat, yet you have Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights finding that Harvard University violated federal civil rights laws by failing to protect its Jewish students.
Yeah, and we're going to find that case is going to spread its way across especially the elite institutions in America. It's not just Harvard. It's a lot. I heard UPenn has failed to respond to a similar inquiry, so I think that's going to be coming. And a lot of other universities are going to fall under that magnifying glass. And if they don't fix it, they're going to lose that federal funding. And frankly, I'm not happy that they're federally funded anyway, but we definitely have a sickness inside those institutions. Some of it, by the way, comes from overseas. It comes from funding from China, funding from Qatar and other places that hate the West. And I think we need to ban all of that foreign funding of our universities.
Yeah, not only that, but the universities themselves, why do they need this funding? They're sitting on vast amounts of wealth. Like Harvard, for example, has, what, $1 billion endowment that they're not doing anything with except watching it grow in the stock market?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why the federal government should be funding that. They're still charging tuition to students when they're sitting on over $1 billion. I think it's outrageous, and I think this is a broken model that we're going to have to work on a fix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because this model also contributes to the radicalization of Americans because there's no accountability, and the universities get to keep pocketing money, whether it's from the federal government, whether it's from the overseas actors, they just get to keep pocketing money. Doesn't matter what they do. Maybe they can make a token firing or something. I think years ago Harvard did something like that, but nothing will change.
Yeah, I mean, if you look recently, Harvard ended up firing their president. I think it was Claudine Gay, and it made no difference. I mean, she was just replaced with another radical leftist. I think one of the things that we have to note is where this ideology comes from. It does come from overseas, but it's also internal. And again, this is going to be a long-term ideological fight. This is not something that we're going to solve in 1 year or even during the Trump administration. It happened over a long period of time. This is the Marxist long march through the institutions. So they call it, they've planned this for literally decades. It started in the 1960s, and it's going to take us at least a decade to root this stuff out, I think.
Hmm. And meanwhile, we watch as society rots from the top down because it's the leaders of society, the politicians, the lawyers, the bureaucrats in the government, and they are just, and the millionaires, billionaires, etc., who are educated at these places that suddenly come out hating the United States. I mean, look at the 2024 election. More than half of the billionaires in the country supported Kamala Harris. It wasn't even close. It was like 80 billionaires for her to 50 billionaires for Trump.
Yeah, I think you make a really important point that we should emphasize, which is that these schools pump out the de facto leaders of tomorrow. When kids graduate from Harvard, they have a network made up of all the most powerful families in the country, and they're going to go on to be the leaders, the powerful lawyers, the business leaders, the governmental leaders. And so if they have a bias against the United States of America, it's going to be an outsized and magnified bias.
Yeah, on top of that, the areas that they float around with their influence because of the nepotism and stuff involved, it's almost and the elitism too, it's impossible for anyone lower than them in their minds to even get a foothold in there. I mean, you want to talk about a lack of meritocracy, you want to talk about oppression and wealth gap and all that, the elitism that these people at the top have claiming to be leftists is mind-boggling.
It is, and it's inconsistent with the ideology, which is not surprising because the hypocritical nature of the left is well known. But a great example right now is Ohan Mamdani, that looks like he might be the mayor of New York here shortly. He claims to be a socialist. I would argue he's much beyond that. He's actually professes communist ideology like taking over the means of production, et cetera, government-owned grocery stores. This is a guy that was raised in a wealthy family. His dad is a professor at Columbia. His mom is a leftist film director. So they are a wealthy family living high on the hog and then attacking the system that gave them their wealth.
Because they don't want anyone else to reach that height. Mark Meckler, appreciate you being on the Al Nathan Show to talk about this. And where can our listeners find out more about Citizens for Self-Governments and Convention of States Action? We got like 10 seconds left.
Yep. People can go to conventionofstates.com to learn how to solve these problems or follow me at Mark Meckler on X.
Our listeners, you can go check that out. We're coming to a break, but we got more Al Nathan Show on the other side.
Planning a summer road trip? You're not alone. Over 75% of Americans are hitting the road this season. But before you pack the snacks and playlists, make sure your car and your car insurance are road trip ready. Start with a full vehicle checkup. Brakes, oil, tires, wipers. Pack an emergency kit. Learn how to change a tire and bring a backup map because GPS is not always reliable out there. Understanding your coverage is important as well. Although many people think they understand their insurance, a recent survey found 96% of drivers misunderstood at least one part of their policy. And that's where the General can help. With our app, you can review your policy, file a claim fast, or get a quote in 2 minutes or less. At the General, our mission is to give people a break when they need it most. And that's why we've made managing your car insurance easier, faster, and smoother, so you can stay focused on the road ahead. Planning a trip? Visit thegeneral.com so you can hit the road with confidence.
With the cost of living rising dramatically, budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. T-Mobile has launched two new experience plans, adding industry-leading value and savings, plus a 5-year price guarantee, so customers can rest assured that the price of their talk, text, and data stays the same. The Experience Beyond plan includes over $200 in added value for every line every month, with satellite connectivity, yearly device upgrades, and an entertainment streaming bundle that includes Apple TV+, Hulu, Netflix, and more. For more information, visit T-Mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly, everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic.
I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. Silker Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Al today while he's on assignment. So we've got this headline from the New York Post here. Pfizer scientists subpoenaed over claims COVID vaccine testing was deliberately slowed before 2020 election. And this headline is coming out right after RFK Jr. was talking about how Pfizer kind of doctored their vaccine damage study results for the COVID vaccine. Like, they had two groups of people, one who got the vaccine, one who got a fake vaccine that didn't actually do anything. And they said that because one person in the vaccine group died from the COVID, while two people died from COVID in the non-vaccine group, that means the vaccine was 100% effective. And they left out the part where 23.5% there was a 23.5% increase in the death rate in the vaccinated group versus the non-vaccinated group. And now we learn not only that, but they slowed the vaccinations down allegedly before the 2020 election to try and undermine Trump. Apparently, joining us to talk about this, we have Dr. James Thorpe. He is chief of maternal and prenatal health at The Wellness Company. He served as a reviewer for major medical journals, on the board of directors for the Society of Maternal Fetal Medicine, and as an examiner of the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, easy for me to say. He is co-author of Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. Dr. Thorpe, appreciate being on the show. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Joseph.
All right, glad to have you. What do you make of this article by the New York Post? Is it something that you already know and it's just about time, or is this just a new revelation in a long stream of malpractice by the Pfizer, by the medical industry and the big pharmaceutical companies?
It would be the latter. There's continued litany and revelation as we get more transparency and disclosure with our new Secretary of Health and Human Services, Bobby Kennedy. So, listen, this has been nothing but deception and fraud since before the vaccine was rolled out. And the American people know this because, as you well know, Joseph, in the last 18 months, the uptake of the COVID-19 vaccine booster has been a pathetic single-digit percentage in the American people. Some say less than 5%, some say less than 1%, despite the government and all the doctors and medical agencies urging and pushing the Americans to go out and get it. They know it's a lie. They know it's dangerous. All Americans know of friends or family members that have been injured or killed from the vaccine. They know the government and Pfizer is a fraud. And this is no surprise to anybody, because remember, in 2008, Pfizer was charged and admitted and was charged with a $2.2 billion verdict from committing fraud for pushing other dangerous, deadly medications. This is the largest fraud case in the history of medicine in 2008. So should we be surprised?
Not at all. Not with that record especially. And you know, it's not just the government, too. I mean, I just remember the local news. You mentioned how vaccine intake is so low, or the booster intake is so low. You know, that probably explains why, what, last week or the week before, the local news was trying to scare us about a new COVID variant that had, what, like they called it razor blade throat or something?
Yes, BN-181, yes. And again, it's just a scare tactic. And listen, those of us, especially those with the wellness company, has been out in front of this, deflating their scare tactics with the bird flu, H5N1. Yes, this is another one. And this is their tactic. It's a scare tactic to push the fraudulent vaccine industry that is being exposed now by the current administration.
And we know RFK Jr. In this interview where he was talking about the conduct of Pfizer's experiment in 2020, he also talked about how this, in 1999 there was a study on vaccine injuries and as related to causing autism. And the study found that actually there was like an over 1,000% increase of instances of autism among people taking the hepatitis B vaccine. And what the pharmaceutical industry did was they just cut out the people from the study who were old enough to be diagnosed with autism and just kept the younger ones and said, hey, look, see, there's no correlation.
Joe, you're absolutely right. That is proven. Revelation, it was over an 1,100% increase in autism associated with the hepatitis B vaccine. And by the way, why would you ever give a new baby on the first day of life, as soon as it comes out of the womb, a vaccine for a sexually transmitted disease? That in of itself is absolutely ridiculous. Anybody, I urge all patients to be your own advocate. Don't trust the doctors. Don't trust Dr. James Thorpe. Don't trust any doctor or any healthcare personnel. Do your own due diligence. Be your own patient advocate. Do not ever take a vaccine in pregnancy. There is no ever than a randomized double-blinded placebo-controlled trial showing any safety or any benefit from the vaccines in pregnancy. They're now pushing 6 or 7 vaccines if you include the multiple vaccines in the single trivalent vaccine. This is absolutely an abomination.
Yeah, and RFK Jr., he mentioned how there was one individual, I forgot the guy's name, who was on the board that voted for what should be mandated as a childhood vaccine to have. And basically, the guy who was voting was developing a vaccine for this particular illness that he voted to be on the list of things you need to be vaccinated for. So basically, he voted to create demand for his own product. And that's what people don't seem to understand. Somehow, doctors, nurses, the healthcare industry are perceived as not having very capitalist motives when it comes to some of the stuff they do.
You're 100% correct. Everyone on the ACIP committee, which is the committee that is basically the make the recommendations for vaccines on the schedule, every single one of those individuals on the prior ACIP committee had horrible, horrendous conflicts of interest, including that which you just stated, and many, many more. And if you go back and listen...
Now, Dr. Thorpe, we're actually coming up to the end of the hour here, so we'll have to leave it at that. But again, listeners, he is co-author of Sacrifice, How the Deadliest Vaccine in History Targeted the Most Vulnerable. Dr. Thorpe, appreciate being on the Al Nathan Show. Listeners, thank you for listening. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.